You are listening to GeekaBoss Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discuss all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.
Hey guys, it's Christoph here and
Billy
from Geek of Oz. We're here at EB Expo. We're in the line for Battlefront. You excited, friend?
Yes, very, very excited. Excited all for all the gameses.
The gameses. So if we do like cut off, that's because we've been summoned, ushered? I don't know what the word into the Battlefront.
The force is strong with us and we're the first ones in line for Battlefront.
And that's because we're cool, not because we've got nothing else better to do. I'd like to emphasize
we're
that.
We're the shiz.
Shiz?
Yes.
The shiz, really? We're going to go with that?
Yeah, I said shiz.
So we're going to be recording throughout the day EB Expo. The way we're probably going to do it is play a game, then come and talk to you guys about it, give you our first impressions. There's going to be a lot of queuing, a lot of hype.
Yes, as you can hear, there's going to be people talking about, oh, come on in and play the games at EB Games. That's the announcer.
That's good, strong announcer impression.
Yes. So, as Christoph said, we're going to be walking around, oh, wait, six... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hooray!
Billy just got caught up on the hype train for a minute there.
We're going to be walking around the floor and looking at games. A lot of games aren't playable, but we get to watch videos of them. So we'll play some games, watch some games, experience the hype, and we'll let you know how it goes.
Let's do it. We've just had our first taste of the expo. We went and played Star Wars Battlefront and also went to the Fallout 4 experience, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But first, I think I'm pretty keen to talk about Battlefront.
Yeah,
I mean,
same.
As soon as I remember, was it like a year ago, we got that video that pretty much only showed us that DICE was making Battlefront.
Yeah.
And everyone got super excited, given the great games DICE has made and how popular the Battlefront series is. So we just got to have a play. How did that add up in comparison to the trailers we've seen, Billy?
Well,
did it meet your expectations?
Yeah, it did. Look, I really enjoyed it. I thought the graphic-wise, it looked exactly like the same as the trailer.
Yeah.
I know, like, the trailer says it might look different, like, to gameplay, but it did look pretty much almost on set with the trailer, like, graphic-wise.
I think what really impressed me, like, the landscape was really good, but I guess... Because, I mean, we're so spoilt for good graphics in games these days. I think what really stood apart for me was the character design, which was just, as in the characters, you know, that we were playing. Which were just, like, I was Imperials, Billy was,
Rebels.
The Rebels. The Snowtrooper models were just gorgeous.
Yeah,
the
same.
The way
the Rebels...
that, like, the linen and the cloth moved.
Because it was, the booth that EA had was... 40 people playing at one time,
which was awesome. You really felt like you were in the movie.
Yeah, you do.
And the great thing about like Battlefront is that Star Wars, the battles never felt so like they felt big, but never so unobtainably epic to the point where you have 40 people in that game. You feel like you're in the movie.
Yeah, you feel like you're. So the mission we played was Hoth,
I think that's the one that's like we don't really know anything about the maps other than Hoth. They're the only ones that anyone's told us anything about.
Yeah, I mean, in the trailer you see a battle on Sullust and Hoth mostly.
Is Sullust the like the volcano-y planet?
I think so. I'm not
okay,
sure.
But yeah, Hoth is the one which they've really been pushing.
Yeah,
which is but to me like that is
a, I think yeah I'm pretty
such
sure
a, such an epic battle in the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Hoth is probably the first one they wanted. Get ready to show people.
Just so you guys know, I don't know Tauntauns. So, I mean, do with that information what you want.
It's alright. They smell even bad from the inside of the game.
And no Wompers either. But,
Look, I really enjoyed it. It took some getting used to for me, but that was because EA had all PS4s to play, and I don't have a PS4, so I had to get used to the controllers, which is fine.
Quick. Just on a side note, I feel for the person who had to use the controller after me. I have really sweaty hands, and as I left, like, it was visibly dripping.
Dirty, dirty boy, Christoph.
So, whoever, like, picked up a wet controller, I'm sorry. Not really.
No, you're not.
You're a gamer, you're used to sweat.
Yeah, pretty much. it was... Look, I really enjoyed it.
Let's talk...
I played as a rebel. There was a variety of... Like, I didn't really customise my character much. I changed my guns up a bit.
Well, here, let's quickly deal with something. I think one guy figured out how to change his name, or maybe he was one of the EA guys, because everyone else was like, their name was like EA player.
Or EB.
Expo player, and a number. And there was one guy called Darth Josh.
Yeah, he kept killing me. I know.
Damn,
I
really, you Darth Josh.
Yeah, I really wanted to shoot him. I think I ended up killing him when he was a TIE fighter.
Well, here's one of the things about the game, and I guess this is... It has all the bells and whistles of a modern shooter, but it feels... If you played Star Wars like Battlefront 2 before, as I have, it feels pretty much... It's got that same... I don't want to use the word monotony, but... Like, I died a whole bunch of times. Like, that's just what's going to happen. You can't not die in this game. You're going to die a lot, and you're going to come back a lot.
And, look, I mean, I've played games where first-person shooter and you refresh and whatnot. The refresh rate on this is pretty quick.
You come back pretty quick. Oh, for sure.
The respawn, sorry. The respawn's pretty
quick. Yeah, no. Respawn time's pretty quick. The other thing I noticed as well, maybe it's just because everyone's still pretty newbie at it, but whenever I got killed, it goes to kill cam, and usually the person who killed me within kind of 10 seconds, like, why the kill cam's still on, they get killed.
Mm.
So it's that kind of game. There definitely seems to be an emphasis on...
Teamwork.
Because
you could do this thing where you can revive, or you can revive next to someone else as a part.
When you come back, you come...
When you respawn, you can respawn, or you can respawn next to someone else, so that could be like your partner, like a teammate.
Okay, I'm sure I've seen that before in a game. Was that in Battlefield by any chance? Anyway.
But yeah, look, the options were pretty cool. I mean, halfway through the game, I decided to switch it up, and my backpack up. Like, initially, what I had was... a backpack and rocket boost, and
so you can change your... I didn't experiment with a loadout.
Yeah, and an ion shot, I think it is.
Okay.
That charges up.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the other one was a thermal detonator, a personal shield, and an ion missile, which charges up, like refreshes.
It's interesting that
taking down an AT-AT after its shield had gone down with an ion missile is like...
That would be good. So let's talk a little bit about the scenario. So it's on Hoth. So me, the Imperials, basically, we had two walkers, and we needed to get those walkers to, like, a rebel... I think it was, like, a rebel base.
Yeah.
And destroy it. That was our aim. Whereas Billy's team had to...
To defend it. We had...
To do that, you had to control satellite uplink so you could bring in the Y-wings.
And also raise shields as well.
So you could bomb the AT-ATs, and I had to take down those uplinks whenever you had control of them. So it's like other Star Wars Battlefront games, it's control point based, which is why dying and respawning isn't an issue, because it's not about how many times you come back or you die, it's about how you hold those control points.
Sound was great as well.
I don't take it for granted, but I mean, the Star Wars sounds are so iconic. As soon as you hear them, it's hard not to feel like you're in a Star Wars game.
Yeah, I know, that's the best
it's
thing.
Really, yeah.
That's why I love
like
Star Wars.
The laser, and like near the end of the game, the Star Wars theme, you know, started playing, and as that played, like one of the, what are they, the snow speeders, was it the snow speeders? The plane that had the lasso.
Yeah.
So, snow speeders, which the rebels have, they have a lasso, and I think you have to hold down two buttons,
you have to hold down two buttons to touch the bolt and then go around the AT-AT.
Like, lasso and trip the AT. And as that was happening, admittedly, I was trying to shoot down that snow speeders because I was a Imperials, but as that was happening and the music was playing, and I saw this, snow speeder circling around the AT-AT, really, like, it felt like Star Wars, and it felt interesting. Yeah. There was a lot happening on screen.
Yeah.
And the thing I really like is, so the loadout I had, and everyone has access to this loadout, has like a little jetpack's probably overdoing it, but
a little rocket boost.
Yeah, you do like a rocket boost. So and
I think they have like similar, whatever setup I had a similar one for you.
Yeah,
but
I
just
think
a bit
so.
Different.
But I really liked that added, I'd say, a much needed kind of level of verticality to the game. Like, there's the planes, but it's great as a trooper on the ground. You can boost up. And it's because there's trenches in this level. You can boost up over the trenches, shoot some people,
and then land.
Which is was really great. And to be honest, this is something that I can't say of a Battlefront game before. I had the most fun just as a stock standard trooper.
Yeah, I think we didn't see everything because I've seen trailers.
Not.
I mean, we got you got to play for the rebels. You got to play, you know, there's a variety of troopers, snowspeeder, X-Wing and Y-Wings.
No special characters. No
special characters.
Either we all sucked or they weren't...
I think it was just a demo game because it didn't end up... It didn't finish. Like, when we finished our turn, it didn't have results or anything like that.
No, it was... Obviously, they want to kind of give you a feel for the core gameplay. Yeah. And, look, the core gameplay is there, but I don't think anyone doubted it. Given the strength of the franchise, the strength of the previous Battlefront games, and the strength of DICE as a studio, I don't think anyone kind of had... I never really had any significant doubts that it wasn't going to be a good game.
Yeah.
I guess the question... I didn't have any doubts it was going to be a good Star Wars game, because it feels like Star Wars, 100%. I guess, for me, the question is, I'm not a massive Star Wars fan, and...
There is the issue of, like is there replayability?
Replayability, why would you pick this over, Battlefield, given that it's, that there's a certain... I said this to you, Billy, I don't know if monotony is the right word, but there's a certain kind of... You die, you go in, you shoot a couple of guys, you die, you come back in, you go in, so there's kind of a monotony there. Again.
But see, I like the fact that does happen, but you still gain experience. Like, I think I ranked up to level 2, even though my experience keeps ranking up, which is kind
of
cool.
I'm sure we're missing all sorts of details, because there's a lot going on, which was great. And I definitely feel like this is one of those games that, look, I think the replayability is going to be in mastering a lot of those little mechanics and learning how to use them to your advantage that you just... We obviously were just trying to get a head around everything that was going on in this first play.
Yeah, look, my experience, I give it a 8 out of 10.
Yeah, no, look, I think it's a solid game. I can't wait till the beta launches. I can't wait to see what other people think of it.
Because when does it officially launch?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I know the beta is coming out.
I think it's this year.
Okay.
But, I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Okay.
But, look, I'm similar with you, man. 8, 9 out of 10. But, again, it was I knew it was going to be a good game. It felt exactly how I expected it to feel. It looked exactly
but a little bit more.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. I think it's what I expected, but just a little bit more.
Okay,
I agree.
Now...
We're going to talk about what just happened?
Yeah, so we went to the Bethesda booth, Bethesda Fallout 4 booth.
So let's just to clarify, the way that the E3 Expo works is people come, game publishers come, they have their stalls, and they'll either offer you can come and play the game, or what's called an, in brackets, experience.
Which is pretty much watching a movie.
Yeah, which is marketing terms for, we'll show you a video.
Last year...
We did the Phantom Pain, and there was...
That was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was because it was gameplay footage that hadn't been released yet.
Yeah, it wasn't someone playing there, it was someone who played overseas. And I really enjoyed it.
And we also did Alien, where someone was playing, and we could watch, and that was Alien Isolation, which was great.
That was pretty cool.
This was... A massive... I'm going to be honest. It was a cop-out. We were a little bit disappointed.
I felt... Look, I mean, it is early in the morning. We got here at 8. I've only had one coffee and I've had 4 hours sleep. But so, I was falling asleep in the Bethesda a little bit. The Bethesda experience. Just mainly because...
Well, it was stuff we'd all seen before. The only difference was this time we had someone from Bethesda pausing the video to point out something that no one really cared about.
Yeah, he was narrating...
What we'd already seen.
Yeah, he was narrating. It was literally, if you wanted to see what we saw, you should just watch the YouTube video of
the speech from E3.
It's literally the E3 speech done by the new different guy and a couple of videos from the E3 thing
as well as they showed us the Fallout trailer and he said I'm not going to apologize for that because it's awesome. It's like, yes, but we've all seen it various times on YouTube. We've
learnt nothing new.
And we're giving up our time on the floor to come and see you because we want something new and they couldn't offer it. And I think, and that's the joke we've been making all day. The games industry is, very much all aboard the hype train. And it's great with the Battlefront example, where it delivered, where you feel like you got something that other people didn't get.
I don't think they delivered here.
No,
I mean, they
did
show a Doom trailer, but I saw a better Doom trailer online.
You know, it's funny that we're talking to another guy who was in the experience with us, and he said, afterwards, nothing wrong with showing us Doom, except that, the stand is made for Fallout. It's kind of like going to wanting McDonald's, but instead there's Hungry Jack's. I'm sure Doom will be great, but
better.
I feel like it's. Let's not open that can of worms. But it's like you go to hang out with your friend, and first you have to hang out with your little brother.
Yeah,
like you feel like they're
and
really
look,
pushing
Doom
off.
Doom does look amazing.
I'm sure it'll be all right, but I think they're really pushing it off the strength of Fallout, and they're really I feel like what's giving the Doom reboot credibility, which, to be honest, I'm not convinced there are a whole bunch of people wanting that reboot.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think like some of the things in Doom, the new Doom, which is creating a map.
That's right, so the emphasis on modding.
Yeah, which I saw online in a better trailer. We didn't see that here. If they were going to show us Doom, they might as well show us that.
Yeah, the trailer was not at all... The trailer they showed us wasn't all impressive, which was a bit odd. Why would you show the least impressive trailer? If you're going to show us something we've already seen, show us something interesting. You know, I think that really what's pushing Doom is the strength of the Bethesda name right now, and I think they're really trying to... They're really trying to push it, which is great. I'm sure the game will be good, but... You pushed us into a giant Fallout-shaped box. You gave us Fallout, the master, like the Fallout mascot, and then he sits down to watch a Doom trailer? It just felt really convoluted, and again, like they're trying to push something we're not sure about in with something that, you know, so many people love.
Yeah.
The one positive I will say about the Bethesda experience, or Bethesda cop-out, let's be honest, is that it did kind of get me excited for Fallout 4, and previously I didn't really care.
I'm the same. I'm even tempted to get Fallout 4 on a console as opposed to a PC.
Yeah, so look, we bitch, but it worked.
Yeah.
All right, well, Billy, you know what? There's so much more to see.
Let's go have a look around more and then come back.
Let's do it.
Ready to fuck some shit up? Got a doll, baby. I love her so. Nothing else like her anywhere you go. A man, she... Anything but tall, regular plant size, atom bomb. Atom bomb, baby, little atom bomb. I want her in my wigwam. She's just the way I want it to be.
Hey guys, so we've just come out of the convention hall out into sunny Olympic Park. So I thought we'd take a couple minutes just to talk about the convention overall. I guess what do you reckon, Billy? What are you thinking about the convention this year? We discussed it a lot off the record.
Off the record. Compared to last year, it is a little bit different. It is a little bit more...
I think there's more in general. It feels bigger.
Yeah, it does. It feels bigger. I think there's more stalls and everything. But I guess that's the nature of games and stuff. I think there is a lot to play here. There's all the games we've tried. There's the Lego Dimensions. There was Tomb Raider.
We'll talk about those shortly.
Yeah, I mean, there was Battlefield, which we didn't play, but I mean... Battlefront.
Were there Battlefield there?
Yeah, I think it was Battlefield, but I mean, that's Battlefield. Like, don't really need to play another Battlefield sort of thing. Sorry.
And I think a lot of it... And even, like, there were a lot of games that were already out as well. Like, a lot of the Nintendo stand was this stuff that was already out.
Yeah, I mean, they even had...
like the Mad Max game.
Mad Max game, that was already out. I mean, there's the Nintendo section, which is always cool. There was a lot more stalls as in selling stuff this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess with conventions, there's always a balance between the stalls. Obviously pay to be there, they help get money, and some people want those facilities at a convention. But at the same time, when you're paying an entry fee, you also want to make sure there's a lot of free bang for your buck as well, because you've paid to get in. I think there is that there as well, but I think it's just a reminder that this event is, you know, it's really good at what it does, but it's highly commercial, and it is for consumers, and I think families and really keen...
People
who are really keen about games, and
because
you're paying for the privilege of playing, like, Battlefront a week before, like, the beta comes out.
Yeah. As we were discussing, look, I mean, content-wise, there was a bit of content. I think there was more experience this year, as in, so, movies or videos.
As we said with the Bethesda thing, I mean, when you're paying to get in and when you're sitting down, there was one for Uncharted, which went for about 45 minutes, so I'm hoping that would... We didn't end up going to that one, but I'm hoping that one would actually have something new that people haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean...
Again, with the Bethesda one, that left such a sour taste in my mouth that you felt like you're just getting a crappier version of what they did at E3, and everyone's already seen it.
I guess that's the nature of games. I mean, if a game isn't ready to be shown, I mean, they
kind of... And also, like, so much marketing, I think part of it is for people like us who have grown up with games or whatever, sort of as something small, something fun, something a bit geeky. Now they're not. To me, they're so mainstream and they're highly commercial. It's billions of dollars the industry brings in. It's a big industry, so they have a big marketing budget. It's just a way of things.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so I guess we could talk about what we played.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll stop with all this bit.
Stop with all the down thing.
The bit of talk. And we'll talk quickly. So, We played Tomb Raider, so the new Tomb Raider, which is Rise of the Tomb Raider, I believe.
Yes, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
We're going to play a bit of a level called The Prophet's Tomb. We got about 5 minutes, unfortunately, to get a whole bunch of time. But what do you think? What are your first impressions?
Yeah, well, I believe you and me sort of had a bit of a differing experience. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I'm keen to. I mean, when I played Tomb Raider, it was on the PS3.
As did I. Like, I enjoyed it. It was different seeing it
on the high-end console. We played it here at EB on Xbox.
Which, admittedly, part of my... The fact I didn't like it might just be, like, because of the Xbox controller.
Yeah, that's fine. It felt much like a Tomb Raider game, like an Uncharted game. I liked it. I mean, the thing with the demos... that usually you get to play, you don't know whereabouts in the actual game it is. So
what code you're playing, how far away it is from release.
Yeah, and I've kind of, it kind of interested me to like, it was almost in the middle of her investigating another tomb.
Yeah, it was obvious that some story work had taken you to this point.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm excited for the Tomb Raider franchise since I played the first game. I was late to play the other game. But I really enjoyed it once I actually got a chance to play.
It started off, you're going through a narrow passage and then you're out to a big opening. And by the point we got to the opening, because the narrow passage bit took a couple of minutes, we pretty much got kicked off. So my first kind of feeling about that was it kind of felt weird that they gave, you know, if they're only going to give us a couple of minutes, surely you'd want to put you into a point where there's a big action set piece or something more exciting than what we unfortunately got to play.
We essentially got to play...
you're just going through that corridor and occasionally you need to press buttons to react to traps and stuff.
Yeah, you're doing that and then it's also pretty much you're stuck... It's one of those Tomb Raider sections and Uncharted sections where you're in an area and how you get out of it. You're in a sandbox and how do you get out of it.
I feel like it felt to me fairly on rails.
Okay.
It felt fairly pronounced what you needed to do.
For the people at home, what does that mean?
On
rails.
Well, it felt like you're kind of going down direct path.
You're moving forward, stuck.
Which is, like, fine. I get that these games are, you know, they're set. It's not like, you know, there's a million ways to do things. There's one solution to the problems. But in a lot of games, you felt like there's a bit more freedom. I just felt like I was... Admittedly, the only bit we got to play, really, you're in this tight, narrow tunnel.
Yeah.
So that was part of it. The other thing, this is a small gripe, it felt like a major gripe, but the swimming animation was, it basically looked like you were floating on the water and her arms were just moving, whereas in a lot of other games, for some reason, the default swim for video game characters seems to be like a breaststroke, so there's a kind of a cadence to it as they pull forward,
and then
bob for a minute, then pull forward, and there was none of that. She was just doing the arm motion as you're kind of gliding forward on the water. So I don't know what version of the game we were playing, but it felt like unfinished.
It felt like they need to tweak it a bit. Once I was talking with you about it, I thought that as well. I'm happy to...
To, like, give it the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, give it the benefit
Well, given
of the doubt.
How strong the first game was, I'm sure that these are just things that are just yet to be polished.
Yeah.
And admittedly, the feeling of excitement and the feeling like being in an Indiana Jones-style movie is 100% there. That sort of, I think, spirit of the game is there.
Nice.
And I'm just interested to see how it goes up, because, I mean, Uncharted 5 is going to be coming out, I assume, within a couple of months of it.
Yeah. Uncharted 5.
So I'll really be interested to see, because they're such similar genres, different takes on... Fairly similar takes, let's be honest, on the same genre. Yeah, so I'll be interested to see how they go.
So after that we played...
Do you want to talk about LEGO Dimensions?
Yeah, LEGO Dimensions.
So anyone who's kind of has an idea of what's going on in the gaming industry knows at the moment the big thing started by Skyland, it's this whole kind of games where you have miniatures that you use inside the game, little models that you use inside the game. So LEGO Dimensions is LEGO's answer to that.
Yeah, and look, It was, from what we played, it was pretty cool. This is my first time playing one of those figurine type games.
It's kind of the sameness to a lot of them.
Is it? I've not played the other ones.
So Disney Infinity is the other one.
I've not played a Disney Infinity.
And Skylanders, and even a Nintendo's in on it with the Amiibos, although that's the actual game. You just use them, I think it's Smash Brothers. But yeah. Anyway. So, I mean...
I liked it. You get to play as Doctor Who.
Yeah. I think the guy helping us, like, talking at us as we played, was very adamant to stress the strong points of Infinity,
Lego Dimensions over Disney Infinity.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things they stress is if you played Lego games before, which we both have, is like the Lego Batman games, for instance. You can complete the level, but you can't get all the collectibles without going back once you've unlocked different characters or suits. So Disney Infinity, Lego Dimensions, uses that same logic, except that you need to have different characters. So different characters have different types. Apparently there's like some that fly, some that have certain ability sets, etc. And you need each of the different types to go back and unlock that stuff. So you can finish the game, but to finish it 100% and get all the collectibles,
you need to buy a couple more characters.
Yeah.
And he did stress like, oh look, it is, we know it's expensive, like $148.
Yeah, apparently it's more expensive than its competitors. Yeah. But I guess the advantage of that is, my understanding is, you get to build the... Not obviously the little characters you don't get to build, but like the little cars, or like we were playing the TARDIS in the game and you get to build that. So that's one of the advantages.
Yeah, and he kind of stressed that with Disney Infinity, you kind of have to...
Well, every like year they bring up... They're up to 3.0 now. You need to buy the base game again because they update the software. Whereas the cool thing about this, and again with Disney Infinity, you have a little model, which is a play set, which you put down the player set, and then you need characters from that play set to be able to play in that world.
Yeah.
Whereas with, Lego Dimensions, it's character-based. So if you have, like, the Shaggy character or the Scooby-Doo character, once you put them down, it'll launch their levels, or give you access to their levels. So I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that the characters are voiced, and the story involves melding together, whereas Disney Infinity... You can play characters from different franchises together, but they're in generic kind of level areas. And when you go into the play sets that are set in specific universes, then you can only play with the characters from that universe. Whereas Dimensions, we're in like Doctor Who world, where like Batman, Wildstyle from the Lego movie, Gandalf, and the Doctor.
Something I really liked is if you play as the Doctor and you jump in the TARDIS, you can go to the TARDIS control panel and pick which version of the Doctor you want to play as. And then also pick which version of the Doctor's music you want to play as well. So if you pick a different Doctor, and then...
That's right, then go back into the TARDIS.
So I played it. I picked Tom Baker, Doctor Who, and jumped out of the TARDIS, and then jumped back into the TARDIS. The TARDIS internal changed to suit Tom Baker's reign as the Doctor.
I think it's interesting because Lego's so late to the party. I mean, Disney's up to 3.0. Skylanders was around before then. Skylanders are probably like 4 years old by this point.
Yeah, it just seemed like Lego was... Lego Dimensions is trying to...
It's very...
do heaps of fan service.
Yeah, I think it's really thoughtful about the way it's done it. The gameplay is like any other Lego game, mixed with... I don't want to say disposability, but the mechanics are fairly simple. There's kind of a fairly basic feeling. I mean,
you've played one Lego game, you've played them all, essentially.
And even this genre, this collectible genre, they're meant to be... I guess the strength of them lies in the different characters that you can buy and have access to, and they're geared towards that. So the gameplay's often quite basic.
Mm-hmm.
And the bit we played, it felt like that. A lot of running around, a lot of switching between characters. Again, that's a Lego game staple.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I'm probably going to not get it myself.
Well, you know, I've still got... And we'll talk about this in a minute. But I mean, I've still got Disney Infinity that I've got to play as well, so...
Yeah, I don't know, I don't really want to get into the whole...
It's just every so.
Yes, I don't want to get into the... Yeah, exactly.
Which is, look, a kudos to how cool the figures are and how well they're marketed. And quickly, while we're on the topic, we mentioned Disney Infinity. We stopped by the store.
We quickly played a little bit. Look, and it was fun.
As with these genre of games, gameplay's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Christoph was showing me how to play it.
The Star Wars stuff has come out, I think, pretty recently, because... they seem to have these sets that they kind of push when the new one comes out. So like Disney 2.0 was all about the Avengers and Marvel superheroes, because they were, I think, Avengers, Captain America 2 was probably, I think, had just come out and stuff. Whereas now they're being smart, Star Wars is coming out, so they're pushing the Star Wars stuff. And they had all the figures there you could look at, which was really
cool. They had like a big, like pretty much where you enter was the like Disney Infinity section, it was an archway, and it was a, sort of an archway that was a shelf and had all the various
figures
in there, which is pretty cool.
Which looked great, and I think that's, the strength of Infinity, maybe over Disney Lego Dimensions. Is it the figures are so nice? And they've got such
I really love the pixelated.
It's a really good aesthetic that they bring in all the models. Like, I've got some of them at home. Really nice quality models. The plastic doesn't bend. They feel solid.
I really enjoy the detail and texture. The pixelized version of various characters.
I think they were really clever with how they did that. Especially because, like, some of the Marvel characters, like, they've made them kid friendly as well, and that kind of aesthetic.
One thing we were meant to mention is, Lego Dimensions, it doesn't have any Marvel characters in it.
Yeah,
it's just DC.
We actually asked the guy who was...
And he's not sure how the licensing works.
Yeah, well, he said he actually... Because he was just one of the booth attendants, I guess. He said, he spoke to, like, the director of the game the other day, and he asked... Because, obviously, the amount of... And that's another obvious strength of Dimensions is how many IPs they've got.
Yeah, they've got so many.
Like, they've got The Simpsons, they've got, like, Scooby-Doo.
They've got Simpsons... Doctor Who.
Like the Lego Movie now with its own thing.
Yeah, Lego Movie.
Like, it's just insane. And then they've got the... have it, or will have it.
So. Yeah, and then they've got the stock standard Lego various, like, you know, the Lego...
Sets, like Pirates and Ninjago or whatever, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Ninjago and...
Like, so it's... Yeah, it's insane how many IPs they have. But anyway, he said he was speaking to the director, asked how the IPs work, and the director said, honestly, he wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
So I think it just speaks to how damn confusing it is. But it's funny, because right next to the Lego Dimensions stand, they had set up Lego Avengers.
Yeah. So Lego Avengers is a Lego version of the...
The movie.
The movie,
which
I think.
Kind of find weird how they... It's almost... Because they... Obviously, a couple of years back, they had the...
Lego Marvel, which is almost like after the movie, but in a Lego version of it.
I don't know. It just seems like really weird that now they've... They kind of, I don't know if they're splitting their IP or if this is overtaking that, as now they're just going to base it on the Marvel on the cinematic Marvel universe, because obviously the previous one was based on the comic books more.
That Lego Avengers thing is essentially, I think, the Lego cinematic universe, Lego Marvel cinematic universe.
It's so confusing, so many IPs.
Other than that, we walked around the showgrounds a bit more. We saw some various stalls. We saw, what was that, Cuphead, was it?
That's right. I almost forgot. We also played Cuphead briefly, which I saw it at E3. Like I saw videos from it at E3. It looks really cool. Has it kind of like a Steamboat Mickey kind of aesthetic to it?
I was actually about to say Steamboat Mickey.
Old Disney cartoons. Anyway, before we picked it up, the guy warned us it was like the hardest game he'd ever played. I was like, sure.
Yeah, mind you, we did jump into a boss level, but...
Well, you know, I think it might all just be bosses.
Oh, okay.
I think, I'm not quite sure, maybe not, but, I mean, it's insanely hard, just punishingly hard. Although I found, we only played for a couple minutes before we gave up, but once you kind of, I think it's like the Dark Souls thing, where everyone works in predictable patterns, so it's all about every time you die, you learn a little bit.
Yeah.
And when you're like, we're starting to dodge we were finding some sort of mutant carrot, I guess.
Yeah.
When you're, it's a 2D side scroll, by the way. So when you're kind of getting into the rhythm and dodging the attacks, it feels really good. There's a real reward there. But again, I'm sure this game is going to take ages for people to get the hang of. And there are people next to us versing what looked like a more advanced boss, which was like two frogs.
Yeah.
And just getting their asses handed to them. So it's
kind of reminded me of Castle Crashers. That was.
I haven't played Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers was from a few years ago, and it can get difficult until you level up more.
It's funny how there's a demand for these games now, Cuphead kind of reminded me of when I was playing like Mario on the Game Boy One, or like other similar games where they're just brutally hard. Admittedly, Cuphead seems to revel in just how hard it is, but they're just brutally hard. It doesn't hold your hand at any point.
Yeah.
Even the tutorial was pretty, almost like do it yourself.
Yeah, essentially. But look, I mean, I'm interested in Cuphead. I'm going to go home and look up about it.
For me, I don't know if I could buy it simply because it's so hard and I'll probably give up on it. But I'd totally be up for watching like a Let's Play or something because it looks beautiful. Yeah. It looks like a Steamboat Mickey cartoon. All the characters are so
essentially
great.
That was the first thing I thought of.
And even like the in the frog boss fight, watching like the frog like flails his hands around and a fireball comes. It's just really entertaining to watch.
Yes.
And I think it's so cool that I'm enjoying about Games Now is that it's obviously the guy who made this had such a clear vision about what he wanted to make, and he was able to do it.
Yeah. What else? We walked through the EB store. I mean, EB Game Store. I mean, it's essentially it's an EB Game Store. We saw a Lego sort of mini museum.
That's right. So you might, if you follow us on Twitter, you noticed last week at the Oz Comic Con, I was tweeting a whole bunch of photos of the Lego stuff that was there. They had that here as well. A lot of video game stuff, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I think we've got some pictures on Twitter, so check it out if you haven't seen them already. Yeah. So all in all, Billy, what are your thoughts and feelings on that?
I enjoyed myself. A few hours that I was here. I mean, I couldn't spend a whole day here.
I don't know if that's a reflection on the con as much as it is how old we are now.
Yeah, I guess.
I get fatigued pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's other things on. There's events, there's talks and stuff. I mean, it is a 3-day event, I understand that. There's probably things on. I'm pretty sure there's things on later on at night. So there's like gaming things, there's talks. We didn't go into the EB Games arena, like it was a live arena. I know Good Game are having
I don't think they had the arena last year, did they? Or surely it wasn't that big?
I don't think it was as big as
this. Because it's like its own hall.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. It just fascinates me that kind of Australia can support events this big. Because a lot of our conventions are smaller. And, you know, there's a reason why we can't have things as big as San Diego Comic Con here. We just don't have the population and therefore the fan base to support it.
I think highlight of the day for me was Battlefront and Tomb Raider.
I'll agree with you on the Battlefront one. I found Tomb Raider pretty lackluster. But no, look, Battlefront looks really good. But again, and if you're keen to play it, I believe it. We were talking to one of the EA guys.
One of the EA guys.
And I think it comes out on the 8th of October, so it's coming out pretty quick.
Yeah, the beta comes out on 8th of October, and that's mainly to test.
They said, like, the server loads and just to test the matchmaking, so that's going to be
essentially a beta game. And that's, it's not like you have to apply for it, it's open to everyone. You just have to essentially, I believe, on the day, as soon as the beta's open, just download it. I think someone said to me, it might be 8 gig? I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, I know you have to download it.
I would imagine it'd be a pretty beefy download. It looks gorgeous. Well, I think we're going to head off now. So thanks so much for listening, guys. I'm Christoph.
I'm Billy.
And you've been listening to Geek of Oz, Read, Watch, Play.
You've been listening to Geek of Oz Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discussed all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.